1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Nationally syndicated journalist Margaret Gray with us. You have a critique of how I handled yesterday's broadcast of 9/11.
Phil, what I noticed was this. President Bush wasted an awful lot of time at Ground Zero, and you said nothing. He was there for about 2 hours. He was...
Well, can I say...
Please let me finish. Please let me finish, because this needs to be said, and I'm a journalist. I say the things that need to be said as a journalist, because I'm also a commentator. I did not hear you say anything about this, and I was very disappointed. I really was.
I know you're going to critique my performance. I did the best I could.
Well, I want you to know where you fell down and where I think you let your audience down. President Bush stood around in Ground Zero for 2.5 hours, chewing the fat, signing autographs. He had a speech to make at Ellis Island.
Can I just break in, all right? About the families?
No, I'd like to finish.
But this is about the families.
I'd like to finish.
Go ahead.
He stood around in Ground Zero for 2.5 hours signing autographs, signing T-shirts, giving out, I don't know, they had giveaways or something, chapstick or something.
I didn't see the president giving away any chapstick.
Well, it was handled more like a promotional event. Had I been there, and you know and I know that I wanted to be there, Craig Kitchen decided to put you out in New York.
So you're saying that you thought I did a bad job?
I'm saying you're not a journalist, you didn't ask the hard questions. I would have said, why is Bush lollygagging at Ground Center, standing around as if he's waiting for a bus, when he should be at Ellis Island, giving that speech? Part of being a president, part of being a representative of the people, is keeping your appointments. But he's standing around with his thumb in his ear, and I'm sorry, Mr. President, I don't mean to hurt you and your family. Phil, I thought you did a good job.
He wasn't standing around with his thumb in his ear. I take grave offense at that. He was signing pictures and autographs and things. The people that were there...
I know who the people were, Phil.
No, the people that were there were family members.
I know who they were, and that was another opportunity that you blew. What I am saying is simply this. Had I been there, had a real journalist been in your shoes, we might have gotten a story. And I say that, Phil, I love you. I think you're a great entertainer. I think you dropped the ball.
All right, I'm talking with Margaret Gray. That hurts me because I tried to be as sensitive as I could. And I'm not going to stand there and critique the president while he is doing what I think was a very admirable thing, taking time with all of the family members.
What? Oh, my God. He could have gotten out of the helicopter, waved, and said, thank you. It was a puff piece that you did yesterday. A puff piece. And in my line of business, Phil, I might as well be telling you to go straight to hell.
So you're insulting me?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I didn't know this was going to turn personal.
And it is not personal. It's professional. Can I ask you a question? Why was it that you didn't make any comment on why the Twin Towers were attacked, why 9/11 attacked, the Palestinian issue, the fact that the Arabs have legitimate grievances?
Now, wait a second. I'm an American who happens to take the side of America.
Had I been there, your audience would be a hell of a lot more aware of things that went on yesterday. The way you described events, they were all clueless as to what happened. The problem yesterday, Phil, was your audience had no idea why you were there, why anything was on television.
I did that bad of a job? All right. I'm not that much of a journalist? All right. I understand. But I will tell you that it was not foremost in my mind to explain why the Twin Towers...
As an objective journalist, you have to say the Twin Towers came down in part because a lot of Arabs have been treated badly. And
well, that was not my mindset.
Allow me to finish. Have been cheated badly and misused by American policy.
Well, that was not my mindset, and I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to disgrace the dead people that were there.
Oh, but you don't say anything about Bush standing around lollygagging at Ground Zero.
And he wasn't lollygagging. He was signing autographs and pictures and meeting every single person that he possibly could. I think the president did an admirable job.
You do?
Yes.
That's why you're not a journalist.
All right, well, I'm not a journalist.
I am. Why did they send you and not me? I'll tell you why. Because they wanted a big puff piece and because they're afraid of the truth. And I deal in truth. That is my currency.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, if you're giving me the number out, Phil, I can tell you right now your audience understands what a free press represents, and I think they would stand with me on this.
Well, I'll give the phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. Apparently, I made all kinds of mistakes with my coverage yesterday of the 9/11 events. Margaret Gray is with me saying that I should have commented on Bush, apparently, in her words, lollygagging at Ground Zero. I should have given the background on why the Twin Towers came down, that the Arabs aren't all wrong. Anything else I did wrong?
You know, Phil, you're really being immature.
How am I being anything else I did wrong?
You're being a child, Phil. And the worst mistake you can make as a journalist is exactly what you did yesterday, blubbering around, crying, making...
I did not cry once.
Well, you blubbered and you made it all a big emotional scene. Let me ask you this. You said you were 3 feet away from the family members. Is that right?
I was, at one point, I was very, very close to the grieving family members who were on their way into Ground Zero to put flowers there.
All right. If I had been able to be 3 feet from those families, I would have gotten some interview segments that would have knocked your socks off. I would have gotten some interviews from those people. And believe me, it would be George Foster Peabody Award material. And
well, I didn't think it was the kindest thing to stick my microphone into the face of people that are bereaved.
Phil, I'm a jerk. Let me tell you something. I was at Waco, and I watched that compound burn. And you know, I stood next to a woman who said to me that her son was in there burning alive. You know what I did? I put my microphone in her face, and I said, "Your son is in there incinerating. How do you feel? Let's go. Let's go." Was I acting like a baby? No. Was I hedging my bets? No. Was I sitting there saying, "Oh, well, I better not," because... No, I put that microphone in her face and I said, "You are watching your son cook. How do you feel about that? Give me your emotions." I, Phil, was dry-eyed and clear-eyed as a journalist. And what do I get as my reward? I'm in Los Angeles while you're in New York at one of the biggest stories ever.
Call me a complete piece of crap.
How else, Phil, will people understand what went on unless they get it from the source, from the very burned carcass of that young man?
Call me insensitive or stupid. I couldn't bring myself to go up to a bereaved woman or man and say, "How do you feel?"
And that's why you're not a journalist, Phil. That's why you don't have the thick skin that I have. That's why you have not been up, as I have, for two Pulitzers. That's why you haven't been up for the New York State Journalism Award, as I have. That's why you haven't done your time as one of the most respected journalists in Hollywood. I was at Waco. I saw that thing go up, and the woman said to me, "My son's in there burning." And I said, "What's it like? What's it like?" I didn't worry about what she was going to say.
You actually said, "What's it like?"
Yes, I did. And I make no apologies. Let me tell you something else, Phil, as long as you want to know what I think you did wrong. And let me ask you, how else will America ever know what's going on?
You're telling me that America had no idea?
I'm telling you that America had a vague idea of what was happening in New York yesterday, and you didn't make it any clearer. And
how could they have a vague idea?
Well, did you say, "Here I am, I'm here because planes flew into the building, the president's here, a lot of people died"? No, you didn't. Most Americans are woefully ignorant of what happened on 9/11. Most Americans are absolutely and completely in the dark about...
Most Americans are in the dark about what happened on 9/11. The biggest thing that happened to this country since Pearl Harbor, and most...
Most Americans today, Phil, have way more better things to do than sit and listen to Aaron Brown blubber like a schoolgirl. And for you to sit there and say, "Well, we're in New York, and I guess I assume you all know what I'm doing here," is an absolute travesty. It is not journalism, Phil. I love you and I respect you. Absolutely, you missed the point.
Well, maybe I did, and maybe I'm not a journalist, but I couldn't bring myself...
Yeah, we've heard it already. You couldn't bring yourself to be insensitive. Journalism is about that.
1-800-449-8686. Would you rather have heard the hard-hitting questions asked yesterday, folks? Would you rather have me said, "What's Bush doing lollygagging at Ground Zero when he could be over giving a speech at Ellis Island?" Let me go over here to Vicky. Hi, Vicky. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Phil,
yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to comment on Margaret Gray's comment. I think that as a journalist, there is a time and place for things and comments to be made, and I think that yesterday, anything but sensitivity towards these families and the remembrance of these fallen heroes is all that was necessary yesterday, and you did an excellent job.
I don't understand that point of view at all. I don't understand
that
point of view.
Margaret, you know what? I think the problem with journalism
is to get the story, and you get the story by asking the hard
questions. Well, I think you're wrong, Margaret, and I think people do not appreciate that, and not in that type of situation.
Why the lollygag?
It's not lollygagging, Margaret. You're talking about people's feelings. You're talking about people's emotions.
What feelings? What feelings? What are you talking about?
Well, apparently,
you may not have feelings yesterday,
Margaret. My heart goes out to all these families.
Maybe your heart doesn't go out
to all these families, but it was not the time and place for people to be questioning what this, that, and the other thing occurred.
Why was President Bush standing around like he was waiting for a bus yesterday, as if he was in an ice cream social? I think you're upset because you weren't invited
to be there. I think that's the real issue here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is all about me being here and you.
Phil, there are a number of journalists there that I respect. I love you. I think you're a good entertainer. I do not respect you as a journalist. I should have been there in your place. Yes. Yes, I'm saying that. Yes. And then we could have asked the hard questions.
I think that's a personal issue, Margaret, but I don't think that, I think your comments are completely misplaced.
He needed to leave Ground Zero, the president did, because he needed to work on his speech. He wasted time.
You know what?
His speech was only four minutes long.
He did what he had to do. He did the humanitarian thing. He was there for these families. You know how much that meant to them? Maybe it meant nothing to you, but it meant a lot to them.
Yes, yeah, and every single one of those people, the president met.
Oh, my God, are you going to keep going on like you're his PR director? He needed to polish that speech. He needed to get the speech ready at the U.N. By the way, the speech today at the U.N., Phil, you're wrong, was not all that masterful. I thought he blundered his way through that speech.
I don't know what you're talking. That was a great speech he gave today at the UN. A great speech.
Vicky, do you and what sounds like a litter of children behind you have any idea what was going on yesterday?
Yes, I do have a very good idea what was going on yesterday. What do you think was going on yesterday, Margaret?
And who's the father of the litter? Because
what are you saying, Margaret?
You've got issues. I have two children. You might call them a litter, but they're children. Maybe you don't know what that is because maybe you've forgotten that you were once a child.
You know, I am a woman. I'm a working.
You
woman.
You are a woman. I don't know what kind of woman you are.
I am a working woman who does not.
And so am I, Margaret. For your information, I am a working. I'm an attorney. For your information,
I don't have children hanging off of my breasts every day.
Well,
and
you know
many...
what? Guess what? That's life. I work full time,
right,
and I have children.
Right,
I'm very proud
right.
of it.
The woman's
you
a lawyer,
have
okay?
Issues, Margaret. You have very, very sad issues.
How many child support checks do you get each month?
Why is this turned personal?
I have a
Why
husband.
Is this...
I don't need a child support check. And you know
Why?
What? Even if I didn't have a husband, I make over $100,000 a year.
I don't need a child support check.
What kind of person do you think you're talking to?
You know, this is a... Margaret, you're way out of bounds. You're talking about...
You're
you want to talk about the way
bounds.
I...
Oh,
yeah,
right.
you're talking about the way
you're
that I covered the thing.
Margaret.
You walk up to a woman at Waco and say your son's in there barbecuing. How do you feel?
Yes, I did.
A sick woman is what you are.
I'm sick. I am a journalist, and we have a right to the free
press
in this country.
That's not journalism. What you just finished insulting me for no reason at all.
Absolutely.
Not journalism.
And you know what? You're not a journalist. You're a urinalist.
What did you say to me?
I said you deal in urine.
That's right.
You know something? I really think if my husband were here and you were standing here, you know, I think
Where was your last child support check?
I think you're both very, very wounded people.
Oh,
we are.
Okay.
I'm sitting here talking about... All right, thank you, Vicky. You made your point
very well. Thank you very much.
1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Margaret Gray about yesterday's coverage. Apparently, she finds fault with the fact that many of us, covered that event in a way that we thought was right, and that is to be respectful. She wanted to ask the hard questions. How do you feel about your family dying? And President Bush was lollygagging, she calls it, at Ground Zero. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We are live in New York all this week. We are live today from New York and tomorrow as well. It was our greatest honor to be a part of yesterday's 9/11 coverage, and we hope that we were informative. I don't think that we sacrificed information for sentiment. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yes.
Look, Phil, I think we got off the wrong foot. What I'm saying is this. darling, there is a reason why Connie Chung, Greta Van Susteren, and Diane Sawyer and I have formed a sisterhood. Our mutual love for getting in and digging. I love to get in and dig a story. And I think what happened, Phil, for instance, yesterday I heard 10 seconds of dead air on your show. What was that?
The 10 seconds of dead air, that was 10 seconds of silence at 9/11.
Absolutely wasted time. That is not your job.
Margaret, 10 seconds of silence for the people that died.
That is not your job. That may be the job of Major League Baseball. That may be the job of Mr. Bush. That's not your job. That's 10 seconds when you could have been asking one of those family members, how do you feel about being here? Tell me about it. You could have been getting Saddam Hussein's take on this, yeah. You didn't think about that, did you?
Oh, I want to get Saddam, huh?
10 seconds of laziness. That's not work.
I'm going to get Saddam Hussein's opinion, huh?
I think that's objectivity. How did he feel? How is he taking this? Does it hurt him? Is he ashamed of himself? What?
1-800-449-8686. Jennifer, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist.
Hi, thank you very much.
Yes,
I'd just like to say a few things, if I could. I can't even understand why you're giving this woman the soapbox that you're giving her. As a true American, I can't believe she would even insinuate that it would be...
I should have been in New York. I'm a reporter.
Well, you know what? You're proving over the radio right now exactly why you were not sent to New York. You are a ludicrous human being. And if you had spoken during the 10 seconds of silence that every American was sharing with...
Oh, God.
That would have been absolutely absurd. I can't believe that you even suggest... Let me just speak for a second. I know you're a journalist.
I made my career on being different. I made my career on being different.
Well, you have no right to speak when the entire American... The whole country was taking a moment of silence for the 2,000-plus people that died. If you had spoken, or if I was a victim, and you had taken a minute to interrupt my moment of silence, I would have been absolutely livid, and I would have blasted you as far until the end of the earth in every media spectrum that I could, because that's not journalism. That is not journalism. That is abuse, and you are ridiculous.
Jennifer, during that 10 seconds, I would have had my snout in there getting out the goods, and you were what? What were you doing, having a snack, you and Mr. Hendry? Let me tell you something. My father died in 1987. I loved him. I respected him. But as soon as the last shovel of dirt was thrown on his grave, I walked directly over the grave. Yes, that's right. I walked directly, and my shoe prints are still in it, to go get lunch. That's how I'm able to put things in the past.
Well, you know what? If you have no respect for your own father, to walk over his grave and even say that the shoe print is still in it, then why can we expect you to have respect for 3,000 Americans that died?
I loved and respected every one of them, but I'm still here, and I've got to get the story.
Exactly why you were not sent to New York. You stood in L.A. You stood in L.A., and you'd be cold and wicked and horrible, and maybe that's why you'll never win a Pulitzer, because you don't have the heart that belongs with a journalist, as well as the balls and the strength and the in-depth conversation and the probing questions.
If you don't have all of that education, then
you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. And that is exactly why you were not sent to New York. And
you
your soapbox should
really,
be done by now.
I resent you, Mr. Hendry, giving this woman the airtime. I really do. And I also resent you encouraging her.
What do you mean, encouraging her?
You're sitting there going, right, whatever. I'll tell you this much, Jennifer.
I was listening to you on the radio on my drive home from work.
No, you're
getting... I can't even believe that they're giving you the time and the
oxygen
to speak on the radio.
Good points, Jennifer. Thank you.
You're being spoon-fed by Mr. Hendry.
All right, look, Jennifer, good points. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray, who feels the reporting yesterday on Ground Zero and the events was softball and harder questions should have been asked. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show live in New York City from Ground Zero.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But I love to do that. I love to get in. I love to just root through the news. I love to push the news around with my snout. And I love to dig in, and that's what I do, Phil.
So you're a pig.
How dare you?
You use the word snout. You like to push the news around like a pig in the dirt.
How dare you? I'm a woman and I'm a mother. How dare you to say that? You are gutless. You.
Oh, okay, I'm gutless.
Would you walk up to an Arab and say, don't you feel wrong by these 9/11 ceremonies? Don't you feel this is over the top?
No, I would not walk up to an Arab and ask if they're feeling wronged. I would walk up to Americans and ask them how they feel.
But you didn't do any of it, Phil. You're gutless.
You know something? You've insulted me for the last time. You understand that?
You're gutless.
You've insulted me for the last time. One more insult and I will hang this phone up. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Yes. Good, sir. Thank you.
Good. Good. Miss Gray, I just want to make a statement that you've already proven to everybody by your comments so far why you were not invited, and I think that previous caller just explained that same thing.
And what qualifies you to comment on that?
Well, let me just come back and ask you the same thing. Apparently, you're qualified to judge the president by what he should be doing. You're apparently qualified to tell Mr. Hendry whether he's a journalist or not. You apparently are qualified to do everything. It sounds to me like you're not qualified to even be a journalist because apparently
I am a journalist. I've been able to get stories without even a press pass.
You let the people
talk. You don't interrupt me because
let the people talk.
Not to be interrupted. But let me just say, if it's so important for you to get that interview with Saddam Hussein, why don't you just get back on your broom and fly over and get it? It shouldn't take you very long at all.
On my broom. So, in other words, I'm a witch. Is that it? I'm a witch?
Oh, no, ma'am, I cleaned it up for you. I cleaned it up a lot.
Let me tell you what kind of, you know, you're going to hang up. Not man enough to talk to.
Oh, yeah, okay. You got your shot.
Let me tell you something, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm such a good journalist, I don't need a press pass. I could have walked right into Ground Zero, and the minute some cop put his greasy hands on me, I would have said, I'm with the press.
Yeah.
And this is a freedom of press issue.
The minute a cop put his hands on you, you would have been in a paddy wagon, violating the security around Ground Zero. It was a frozen zone. Craig and I tried to get in there.
Oh, that is a laugh. I know Craig and I love him, but that's a laugh when you're telling me Craig Taylor tried to get in someplace. He's a schlub, just like you. I'm
so
a journalist.
You've got the opinion that you're the best journalist around, and obviously, you're the worst I've ever heard in my life. I can't believe you're even on the air.
Do you know what I did?
How could you possibly be a syndicated journalist? You're not a journalist. You're not even...
You know
who could do a better job than you? A Sony recorder.
Bobby Batista said something to me once that I'll never forget, and I know Bobby, and I know she's listening. Hello, Bobby. I love her. Bobby Batista of CNN said to me once, Margaret, you go, girlfriend. And you know what she meant by that? She knows I kick ass, I take names, and I keep my husband's balls in my purse. Yes, that's right. I keep my husband's...
Well, that's great. So you emasculate your...
...individual I have ever heard in my entire life. And exactly the point yesterday, you totally missed the point of the whole thing.
Do you know what happened? How'd you find out?
How did you know what happened? You must have been under some rock somewhere.
What are you talking about? The American people had no idea what happened yesterday.
They did. They had 68 networks covering it.
Let me tell you, lady, there's about 50 million Americans that understand it, but you apparently don't.
I'm Margaret Gray, and I've reported from Oklahoma, Columbine, Elizabeth Smart's house. I'm everywhere. My byline is Margaret Gray, Columbine. Margaret Gray, Oklahoma. I'm there. And there's a song, Mike, from Carousel, and maybe you know what it is. When you walk through the storm.
Oh, I don't want to hear that song.
Did you just put your head out the window?
Not me.
Well, it sounds like you stuck your head out the window.
No,
just like someone's gone up.
All right, look at...
ludicrous.
Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
Ludicrous.
No, he's the guy that did the Pepsi commercials.
Yeah. You're so funny.
Well, I'm trying to add levity to this dour and rotten abomination of a program you're doing.
Mike, thank you. I'm going to move on. 1-800-449-8686. Louisa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
I'm calling to say this. I think your guest said that no one knew why they were there. No American knew what happened 7/11, or most Americans didn't know.
Yeah,
I think most Americans knew what happened September 11th. There were more flags sold in a single year than there were probably sold in 100 years. Everybody knew what happened September 11th.
That's not what
yesterday
my sources
tell me. Was not the day for your so-called crass, objective journalism. Yesterday was the day for journalists to lay down their paper and pencil and think with their heart,
beautifully
not with
said.
Their heads. And
beautifully
that's
said,
why
Louisa.
You were not invited.
Easy, easy, easy. You know something, Louisa? First of all, I'm a little bit more mobile than you. I'm not on oxygen. I have always said that I am...
What makes you think this lady's on oxygen? Everything with you is a personal crass comment.
I think she gave the last insult. I think we should just say goodnight to her.
You know, Louisa, you just finished renting Titanic. I understand why you're choked up. But I'm an objective journalist.
You know, you'd be good writing.
You're a journalist about 30 times tonight. I'm inclined to believe, and most people are, that you're not a journalist. Say it one more time.
How dare you? How dare you question my credentials?
How dare you? If
question
you're a journalist, you don't have to say it. Does Walter Cronkite tell everybody he was a journalist?
Walter Cronkite broke down and cried when Kennedy was assassinated. One of the most unmanly acts.
You should have broken down and cried, too, but you would have gone there and shoved a microphone into people's balls.
I wanted to find out how Saddam Hussein felt. I didn't know. I wanted to find out how Arabs felt. I didn't know.
You know, for a journalist, you're really literate. Arabs, huh?
I'm sorry, what is it?
Arabs.
Look, I'm not running around trying to win friends and influence people. I wanted to know, I tried to walk up to one of the family members and say, how do you feel? And they would not answer me. Whether
well,
it's an A-Rab, a B-Rab, or a C-Rab.
You?
Of course they wouldn't answer you. And if I'd seen you do
that...
That
was a stupid question. One law of journalism, you never ask a question unless you know the answer. Didn't you know that answer?
No, that's legal. That's not journalism. That's lawyers.
Well, then you should
Holy
be a lawyer.
Holy jeez.
You should go into law, not journalism. Say I'm a journalist one more time. We need
I
to hear that.
I am a journalist. And, Louisa, I'm going to sing a song from Carousel, which has been my life's creed. When you walk through the
storm
hold your
head up high and
I beg your pardon, that's my song.
Of the dark.
That's my song.
That's not your song. You didn't write that song.
You know, you sing like Jerry
You're
Lewis.
You're a journalist.
Did you know I'm a journalist? Or are you just guessing?
I know it now.
Are you guessing?
Everybody knows you're a journalist.
When you walk through the storm.
What? I've talked to a lot of... I've talked to a lot of journalists, and not one of them has broken out in song in the middle of an interview. Not one. I've never heard Walter Cronkite sing. I've never heard Peter Jennings sing.
You really love the insult, don't you?
All you've done is insult. As soon as you came on this program, you've been insulting people. This lady's on oxygen. Somebody else has got some other problem. I'm gutless.
You're not going to bring me down, Phil. When you walk through the storm...
I think you're a crass, crude, cruel woman.
Hold your head up high.
I'm going to get rid of her, Louisa. What do you think?
Get rid of her.
I should get rid of her?
Margaret,
don't be afraid of the dark.
And Margaret, you're a journalist.
Louisa, better replace that oxygen tent.
Good night, journalist.
All right. Urinalist.
Come on, Louisa. Sing it like Jerry Lewis again. Hey, lady!
You're sick and twisted.
You can go to the underworld.
Ego case like I've never seen one. Always an ego case. One of our favorite ego cases, Margaret Gray. She should have been here yesterday. She would have asked the hard questions. 1-800-449-8686. We are live in New York City, and we will be through tonight and tomorrow night. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I insist.
I had you on insulting my listeners.
I insist I should be allowed to sing the song. I want to sing the song.
Sing your song.
This happens to be my credo. When you walk through the storm.
Now, can I interrupt?
What?
This is your favorite song.
This is my credo as a journalist, Phil. This is from Carousel. It's called You'll Never Walk Alone. I think a lot of you know it. When you walk through the storm, something, something up high. blah, 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 blah.
Is this your favorite song or isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
Is this your favorite song?
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. Just sing the words, okay?
I won't be yelled at either.
Please sing the words.
When you walk through a storm, it's something about eat a pie, and then don't be afraid of a something, something. Blah, 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 blah. And you'll eat the pie again. And... You know, I can hear the laughing, and I really resent it.
You resent it, huh? Your favorite song, When You Walk Through the Storm, you eat a pie, and then you eat a pie again.
I'm not familiar with the words. It's been a few years.
Your favorite song.
What's your favorite song?
We're not talking about...
What is your favorite song, really? I'm curious. What's your favorite song?
I don't know. I like,
What?
All Along the Watchtower.
All right, sing it.
I'm not gonna...
Go ahead, try it. See if you know the words. I bet you don't.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth.
Blah, 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 blah. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I don't know it all.
And that's what I'm saying. Now let me start again.
Will you please?
When you walk through the storm, hold your own. Eat a pie, and then hold your head up high. Blah, 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 something, something. And here's the best part. Walk on, walk on, walk on, blah, blah, blah. See, isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great.
When you walk through a storm, you can eat a meat pie and hit...
Okay.
Next time you sing, Phil, by the way, play that little dog howl.
Right. 1-800, she's right, I don't know all the words to All Along the Watchtower. There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. I can't remember that. On the line, nobody on it worth, hey. I know Hendrix, and I know Dylan wrote it, but I don't know. You know the words?
Most of them.
You do? All Along the Watchtower?
I think so.
Do you know the words to I Feel Free? I don't even know the song either. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. We're going to talk to you about Las Vegas. We're live in New York, and we are here through... This is a great month for us. We're going to be visiting our friends in Salt Lake City in a week. We're going to be in New York, in Las Vegas in 2 weeks for the first ever Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas Party, September the 27th to the 29th. Now, the weekend kicks off on Friday at the Luxor's amazing Raw Nightclub with Hendry Happy Hour and live broadcasts. Then on Sunday night, you'll join me back at the Raw Nightclub for the exclusive Blues and Brews Party, where you'll hang with me and be entertained by a live blues band. The package is based on double occupancy. It also includes a Friday and Saturday night lodging for two at the Luxor, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum, free admission to the Raw Nightclub after our parties conclude. And everybody attending will receive a special gift from me. Now, this package is worth over $500, but for you, it's only $348 based on double occupancy. Now, in order to assure your place with me at the Luxor Las Vegas, call the Luxor Las Vegas reservation line right away at 1-800-288-1000. That's 1-800-288-1000. Now, I want you to tell me what the Phil Hendry package, and this is a VIP party. There isn't going to be any tickets at the door. The only way to get in on one of these exclusive packages is to call 1-800-288-1000. There are a limited number of packages. Please make your reservations now to join us in just about 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow night, at the Luxor in Las Vegas. A lot of people like to watch us do our show. You know, every time we go out on a remote, for instance, we generally get people hanging around the studio. And here, where we are broadcasting in New York, we're actually at Jim Cramer's studio at street.com on Wall Street. And we've had people drifting by, staring at me, and then, like, shaking their head and walking away. And, you know, then they'd look back in and shake their head and frown and walk away. So, you know, they're really impressed with what we do. And you may want to watch and see how we do our radio show, too, because it's I'm told it's a lot of fun. It's not fun to do. It's a lot of work to do. In fact, I hate it. I go home at night, and I just pound my fists into the wall until they're bleeding hunks of flesh and go, why? But if you're enjoying it, that's all I care. You know, that's all I care about. I want you to have, if I can just make one heart happy, just one heart. Actually, I'd be failing, wouldn't I? One heart, that's, forget it. Bull crap. So anyway, we're taking the train here to Wall Street this week. We're taking the subway. And I just had some random thoughts about the subway, if you don't mind. Number one, I take a train down from Times Square, and as I sit and I listen to the driver, it's really cool because the driver will open the door and go,
"All right, Canal Street, get out. You can take a next L line, R line, 5 line, all right? And the next stop is Rector Street. Please stay clear of the doors as they close."
I would love to do that gig. That would be a gig that would be relaxing. I could use my radio announcer skills to some degree. I could do a little ad lib here and there, and I wouldn't have the hell and the pressure and the pain and the grief and, the money of doing this gig. I could be a subway train driver. I want to do that. So you cats who drive subways, maybe you fantasize you'd like to be on the radio? Forget it. I'm sitting there fantasizing doing your gig. Then the guy comes up.
"All right, ladies, down this Rector Street. Next stop, Brooklyn. Please stand clear of the doors."
Oh, that's great. And I see the guy hanging out the window as it rolls by. Guy's wearing a rolled-up blue shirt. What kind of gig? That can't possibly be anything other than very relaxing. And you're up in a compartment where it's all locked up. Nobody's going to bug you. All the freaks that get on a train, they can't get to you. The passengers have to deal with it. The only thing that's wrong with a gig is it's dark all the time. It's just you're going back and forth in darkness for like just tunnel after tunnel after tunnel. And you get off the gig like at 5, and then it's dark out, so you never see any sun. But I don't care. I don't care about that. I've always wanted to be a vampire. Now, the other thing, it would be a good, fantastic gig for a vampire. And the other thing would be this, about observation on the subway. As you sit there and the people are come on and off the train, you see a lot of people sometimes will stare at you. Now, there's just enough nutcases on a subway in New York that I actually had this fear, I think, yesterday. Sitting on a subway, I was afraid that this guy that was staring at me had a personality or mental disorder, and suddenly he recognized me as the guy who slaughtered his family in a farmhouse like in 1975, and realizes I'm the guy that did it and is going to pull out like a farm Sith or a machete and just do me in. That's the kind of random paranoia that rolls across me while I'm sitting on a subway train, that one of those guys who's got a personality disorder, you know, a fractured personality, is going to look at me and go, you're a child molester, you know, and I'll have to flee the guy up the steps and out into the night. But other than that, I'd want to do that gig. So there it is. And Craig, what makes me think you'd like to be a subway driver? Something makes me think you would dig that. The other thing is I want to be a tour guide, the guy that's sitting there and going, "And on the right of the United Nations, ladies and gentlemen, filled with nothing but communists. On the left, of course, is, that's Donald Trump's place, and he's right across the street from the Playboy Club, so that's convenient for him." All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. We're live in New York for our second visit to New York in under a year. We were here 6 weeks after 9/11, and we are here on the anniversary of 9/11 in New York City till Friday night. The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And Lloyd, I know you're a veteran, and I know that you are a veteran of Korea, but you were offended yesterday. Again, why?
Well, because, Mr. Hendry, I had been into a supermarket, and there was a woman there who had the absolute bad taste and disregard for human dignity to be sitting at one of those sample tables and giving out samples of what they called a hot pocket.
In a supermarket.
Unbelievable that on 9/11, the day we were honoring so many wonderful people, that this place would have a woman at a folding table with an apron on saying, "Would you like a hot pocket or some of the samples?"
So the woman was giving out samples like in markets.
Yes, she was, sir. And I was absolutely enraged. Now, let me tell you, let me explain. I'm a veteran of the Korean War, and yesterday as a veteran was a bittersweet day. I felt for all of the families. I also felt my blood boiling about the turkeys that did it, the people that killed so many innocent people. and we were going to have a couple over, and I went out to get a bottle of some good Canadian rye whiskey because some of my good buddies were on the old corvettes in the Canadian Navy. And
yeah, my father was in the Canadian Army.
Right, okay, and so I went out to get some Canadian rye. I went into, and I invited a buddy of mine who had been at D-Day, Richard Steelworth, a next-door neighbor. He'd been at D-Day. And I went out to this supermarket, and I was dressed in my Navy dress uniform because I thought that was the best way to honor the day, and this is a uniform that I still have from Korea, and I went around the corner, and I see this gal handing out these food samples.
Well, now let me ask you, you were in a market, okay?
Right, it was Waverly's in Alhambra.
Well, let's not mention any names. I don't want any lawsuits or anything.
I don't. They can sue me. let me tell you what. I'm a Korean War veteran. They can't do anything to me I haven't already seen.
All right, you went into the market. You went around the corner and you saw a lady like we... A lot of times we'll see ladies handing out food samples.
Well, she's standing there on 9/11, on a day that...
I know how you feel, sir.
I saw a lot of buddies die in Korea.
I understand, sir.
And this bitch is handing out samples.
And I would ask you to watch your language, okay?
This woman is handing out samples, and I said, what in the name of the man who died on the cross are you doing? And she said, would you like a Hot Pocket? And I said, I'll tell you.
Now, what's a Hot Pocket? I don't know.
It's a meat pie. You know, they got a, have you ever had a meat pie? Mr. Henry, have you ever had a meat pie?
Yes, I've had meat pie, the Swanson.
Right. You get the Swanson in the aluminum dish. Well, this deal is a meat pie that you hold in your hand, and you eat it like an idiot. And I wouldn't go near any of these things if you paid me millions of dollars, especially on 9/11. This, and excuse my language, this B-I-T-C-H is handed out Hot Pockets.
I just want to be clear, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. You went to the supermarket and felt that a lady handing out food samples was being disrespectful.
Sir?
I just want to be clear. Is that it?
Sir, yesterday was 9/11, and this thing, say, do you want a meat pocket? Do you want a meat pie? And I told her...
I know how you're feeling.
I said, and I walked over to her, and I grabbed a handful of her blouse, and I said, I've never hit a woman in my life, and I'm not going to start now. But you fold up that table, and you take your little apron and the meat pockets, the hot pies that you got, and you get out of here, and I don't ever want to see you in this store or anywhere around here, and that's the Alhambra Garvey area, again.
I understand, okay?
Look, it's one of these meat pies, and now the other day, she was offering this, cheddar and broccoli when we were over at Costco, and I gave some to my grandson, and he loved it, but he got what we call the Montezuma's Revenge, so we spent 4 hours cleaning the toilet. And you got to watch what you give the children.
I understand, but I got to get back to the story here of the hot meat.
It's a hot meat is what it is.
Okay, it's like a meat...
A meat pocket. A hot pocket is what they call it. But that's beside the point.
I know, we're getting off the... You found that disrespectful.
It's called a hot meat pocket.
You found that disrespectful.
Yes, I... Mr. Henry, you don't find that disrespectful?
All right, I just want to be clear. You ordered a woman out of the store. You got to understand, these are people, how old was she?
She was old enough to know better. She looked about to be my age. And I confronted her husband out in the parking lot, too.
All right, hold on, I want to give her a number out. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to a veteran who was moved, as we all were, by yesterday's events. He went to the store to get a bottle of whiskey for some buddies that were coming over. He saw a lady in the store offering sample food. Now, I got to be honest with you here. I've seen a lot of people do that. I'm having a hard time understanding why you find that disrespectful.
Mr. Henry.
Well, hold on. I just want to give our number, 1-800-449-8686. What this gentleman did do is you say she was a woman. How old are you, sir?
I'm 69 years of age.
Right, 69. So you grabbed a handful of her blouse and told and threatened her?
I told her to get out. Get her all of the things she had, the boxes of the hot meat pies, and get out.
And you grabbed a handful of blouse?
Yes, I did. Now, here's the other area that I wanted to investigate with you. I went outside after I purchased what I... And you're obviously not a veteran, Mr. Henry, because you seem to think this B-I-T-C-H handing out the hot meat is okay.
I'm not a veteran, all right?
Well, no, I know that, because if you were a veteran and you'd been with me that day, we would have ripped that place apart. I can tell you, two veterans walking up to somebody giving out food samples on 9/11, the day our...
I understand, sir.
No, you don't. I don't think you do. But if I'd been with another veteran, we would have ripped the seats out of that dump.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking here to Lloyd, Bonafide Lloyd. Is that it?
Yes, sir, Lloyd. A Korean War veteran. I was on a destroyer. We were also on a minesweep. We were at Incheon. Dropped the Marines off there.
All right. And, all right. 1-800-449-8686. Can I get some comment from people about this? I know you feel strongly. Here is Robin on the Phil Henry Show. Robin, go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm just appalled that you would grab this lady and assault her in a store. She has a job. At least she's not on welfare, and
this
we're not paying for it.
It was 9/11, though, ma'am. Any other day, I understand. But you don't treat 9/11 like it's the New Year's Eve, and you're giving out hot pies to have for a party.
And you were in the store shopping for food. That should
no,
be. You should have been home saluting the flag or something.
What kind of stupid comment is that? I was at the market getting some supplies, some food.
And she was doing her job. She had a job to do. She's not on welfare. She's trying to make a living.
Don't you think there's such a thing as disrespect? Don't you think there's such a thing as disrespect handing out some cheese on a cracker? Or giving out those little wieners on a day that is means so much to veterans like myself and others?
No, I do not think that is disrespectful.
Well, okay, I can tell you're not a veteran, and I think I'd like to speak to some veterans, Mr. Henry.
Well, everybody gets a chance to talk on this show, all right?
Huh?
Everybody gets a chance to talk on this show, whether they're veterans or not.
Did you serve this country in uniform, sir?
No, I did not, sir.
All right, well, then you don't understand. You will never really know how deeply it hurts to walk into a store on 9/11 and see some old bitch try to turn it into New Year's Eve.
How is that?
All right, Robin, thank you.
How is that disrespectful?
Because you're not giving it. You might as well sell balloons and tell everyone, let's go have a picnic. Bull crap.
Did you yell at the cashier?
Bull
crap. Yell at the cashier?
I told them, no, she was doing her job.
People go in and get...
No, it was a special... Those people that give out those samples, that's a special free deal. Like, come on in and get some of the cheese broccoli like they do at Costco. No, bull crap.
All right, listen, thanks for your call, Robin. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Lloyd Bonafide. He's a World War... Actually, a Korean War veteran. And he's talking to us about the absolute... disgust he felt when he walked into a market yesterday on 9/11 and saw people giving out free sample food. As best as I can tell, he seems to think that by giving out those free samples of food, they were treating 9/11 as if it was the 4th of July or New Year's Eve, and it was certainly decidedly not that. Your comments coming up at 1-800-449-8686. Giving free samples in a supermarket, he said this lady was giving out Hot Pockets. Is that disrespectful on 9/11? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
One 800-449-8686 and now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
It reminds me of that.
All right, I'm talking with Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran. He honors, as we all do, 9/11. He was outraged when he went into a market yesterday and saw a woman giving out food samples, as you've seen people do in markets all over the country. You walk in and they're giving a sample of food. And Lloyd, you mentioned about your war experience playing into this.
Well, sir, I want to tell you that in Korea, it was a terrible time, 1951, and we were ashore at Incheon. We had just dropped the Marines off, and the poor Korean people had nothing more to eat than dog, literally dog meat. And we, at times, it was all that we had, because in those days, you didn't have these MRIs that the boys have now.
I understand.
So we literally had to eat, in some instances, this kind of canine meat that they would try to stew up. And when I look at those sample tables that are in these markets, the ladies are there with their little aprons, and they look like they're right out of a Danish farmhouse, and they're spreading something that could be the pureed intestines of a cat, for all I know, on a cracker. I want to commit a violent act, and when I looked at that hot meat in a pie, it reminded me of the dog meat.
I understand, sir.
The dog meat that we had to watch the Korean people eat. And on top of that, I had R&R, and God forgive me, I took R&R at a geisha house in Tokyo because I was lonely. And I came out of there with a case of gonorrhea, and I'll never forget it.
Why would that? I'm sorry, sir.
I'm not going to go into it. All right, it just reminds me of that.
All right, 1-800.
God, if you're laughing at me, sir.
I'm sorry, sir, but a lot of the stuff you're telling me is beyond my experience.
And I know that, and it's very evident, Mr. Hendry.
Let me talk here to Linda. You know what? I can't get Linda up. Is Linda on the line? Linda, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, fine.
My respect, sir, goes to you for being a veteran. My husband was a 21-year veteran.
Thank you,
ma'am.
I
hope you can hear me very, very well.
I can hear you fine.
I really cannot understand how this upset you yesterday by seeing a lady passing out food in a supermarket. And did I understand that you had gone to buy liquor?
I was having a celebration with some buddies from the other gentlemen from.
You
ma'am,
were celebrating?
No, ma'am, I was not. I went out to get a bottle.
Were you drinking?
Let me tell you how Navy veterans use whiskey. We use it as a way of bonding. Don't you tell me about my military experience, young lady. That's how we bond with each other. I beg your pardon?
If you were so ill-minded and weak as to go in a geisha house and get gonorrhea, listen, mister, I have nothing else to say to you. You have explained it very well.
You are living under the blanket of freedom provided by me and buddies of mine that died in Korea in World War II. And I'll go into...
And
I'll
do that also.
And
so did my ancestors.
And I hate to tell you this, and God bless your husband. Is he still with us?
Yes, he is.
All right. Well, God bless him. You ask him.
The federal government.
Well, you ask him when he was overseas whether he got himself a little bit of the drip too, and I guarantee you that.
Wait a second! Don't start impugning this woman's marriage, okay?
You're free, lady.
Let
me tell you, Linda, you are free because of me, and yes, my drip.
You're free because of me and my drip.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah, very much so. I'm free because of all the Americans that so proudly serve this United States that we live in. And
do you think
were
it's respectful?
Never lifted a bottle to drink it. You do not celebrate by drinking. That was death yesterday.
You're one of those Jesus freaks. Is that what you are?
No, I'm not, but you might call me a Southern gal, and you might call me a Southern Baptist.
You know what, Linda? Do you think it's patriotic to be selling hot meat shoved into a pie on 9/11? I do not. I find it disrespectful.
What are we supposed to do, fast for the day?
You can have a respectful sandwich or a respectful dinner, but you don't walk into a market like it's the 4th of July and you're looking for picnic favors of a meat sauce mixture that's in a pie.
Well, then let me ask you this. Why didn't they close the liquor stores yesterday?
You got a real problem with Navy veterans bonding over a glass of whiskey and reminiscing about the days where they had to take a bullet for people like you while you're back getting your beehive done. I'm all done with this person, Mr. Henry.
Well, now, wait a second.
No, I'm all done.
In the 50s, believe me, beehives have been out a long time ago. They were
except at your house. Yeah, except at your house.
No, Harley. And don't criticize me and judge me by your ill-mannered
judging me.
Judgment.
You're judging me. I had myself a glass of whiskey, and yes, I got myself
to
creeping.
You're judging this poor little old lady that was getting paid $5.50.
I'll tell you this, and then I'll let you go. I had a case of the Chinese itch, and yet I did my duty.
Well, I'm proud of you. I really am.
Well, that's
proud
the first. That's the first sensible thing you've done.
Yeah, you've said.
And for a man to come home with the Egyptian fever and still do his duty.
I don't know what these diseases are, sir.
Well, you know,
sir, they are what are called.
Most of them, is he not?
You know, Linda, you must not know much about the fighting man of America if you don't know that just about every one of them who's ever served in uniform, including the wonderful George Washington, came home with a case of the green apple two-step on a.
All right, I know you're emotional, sir.
I am emotional. 9/11 should have been kept sacred and not be selling hot wieners in a hot meat in a pie.
All right, Linda, I think you made some sense, and thank you for your call. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. I want to take some more phone calls, but we don't have enough time.
I came, Mr. Henry, home with a rare case of I've had more colors of, I don't know if you've ever seen green pus, but.
I don't want to talk about it anymore, okay? I understand that you.
I got the purple heart and.
I know, and I appreciate all of it, sir, and I don't want to be in a position to disrespect your service to our country, but when you say that it is a disrespectful act for some poor lady, and you just heard a woman say, making $5 an hour to serve Hot Pockets because it makes America look like it's having a picnic on 9/11, I think you're wrong.
Have you ever served in uniform?
I answered your question, no.
Then you don't know what you're talking about, sir.
All right. Hold the line, Lloyd. Navy veteran Lloyd Bonafide. Was it disrespectful on 9/11 for people to be giving out food samples in supermarkets? He thinks it was. 1-800-449-8686. He grabbed a woman by her blouse and threw her out of the store. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show live all this week from New York City.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You mentioned, Lloyd, you had a confrontation with this woman's wife, or this woman's husband.
Yes. Well, you might as well call him her wife, because this guy had never served in uniform. And
but let's cut through all of the description. Our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, who encountered a woman giving out samples of Hot Pockets and you know, sample food in a supermarket on 9/11, found it to be very disrespectful, grabbed the woman by the shirt, threw her out of the store.
No, sir, I told her to get out.
I know, but you said you pushed her out of the store.
I did not push her out.
Well, you threatened her to get out of the store, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. And then you encountered her husband in the parking lot. What happened?
I encountered this turkey out in the parking lot. He says to me, did you grab my wife? I said, well, who's asking? He said, I'm her husband. And I said, did you serve this country in uniform? He said, some smart-ass comment. And I said, do you know she's selling Hot Pockets at the meat pie? Not selling, but giving it away, which I find even more disrespectful. And he made another smart-ass comment. And then I asked, I gave him three chances. I said, do you think it's patriotic to have a meat pie? And he gave me more smart-ass remarks. So I just pushed him up against the side of his car, and he said some other smart-ass things. But that's all he did, because this is just a smart-ass, and he's never served in uniform. And he knew I was right. So,
well, you took this woman's husband and pushed him up against the car.
You better believe it. Let me tell you something, buddy. I love my country. And
69 years of age. Would you have tried that with a younger man?
Let me ask you something. What's that supposed to mean?
No, seriously. Would you have tried that with a younger man? You're going to grab a guy and push him up against the car?
Mister, my right hand has seen it all. And I'd kick anybody's ass around the block for drill. I give it out, a cracker on a juice on it when they squeeze something into a pocket, and then they do something all over a cracker and tell you to eat it on 9/11. You better sweet Jesus believe it. Then I took this guy's walker and I ran it over with my car. And I guess you think that's wrong, huh?
A walker?
I'm joking. He didn't have a walker, but he might as well have had one of these deals.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I can't understand a word you're saying. Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Bill?
Hi, Phil.
Yes,
I've got
sir.
I have two comments for Lloyd. The first one is, I am a veteran. 11 years Army Airborne. 7 of my family members are Army Airborne.
Army Airborne.
Yes, sir. Army Military Police Airborne. Please don't try to swing at me. My points are, First of all, this lady was doing a job. We have to defend our country so that everyone can have a job. And that's all she was doing. She was doing what she was told to do for the day by her boss. The second thing, and what's really insulting to me, is you insulting people who have not served. I served so that others did not have to.
Well, let me see if you really did serve. You ever get the drip?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay. Well, guess what? I don't believe you.
I pulled lots of them out of those houses.
Well, I can tell you that every guy I served with got the running drip and the Chinese itch. And
so every guy that ever served in a uniform had to have gotten syphilis. Is that it?
That's been my experience. Let me ask you something. If you're in the military, what do you call sweet Shanghai poontang?
Trouble.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to, can we dump that line? Suddenly I don't have any remote status here. I don't have any ability to get any calls up now. Rhonda? Let's go to Rhonda. Rhonda, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to say to the guy that as far as him going to the extent, now he's taken the wife's husband, knocking his walker over. You know, he's not any better than the terrorist that attacked us one day.
Stop it.
God forbid, you know, that he even comes down on you, because you just have no clue. You know,
you served in the war
to protect us, and now you're out there trying to cause damage to people who are trying to work their butts off and make a living.
You
most
think
people
I'm supposed
to
put
yesterday.
Up with you squeezing meat into a
no,
pie?
What you wanted was a free sample of freaking whiskey. That would have been fine, though, right?
What the hell are you talking about?
Right.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? You're sick.
What do you mean I wanted a free sample of whiskey? Are you stupid or something?
I think you got into a little bit too much syphilis and too much little drip and a too much little poo-tang over the Korean War. God forbid you.
God forbid me what?
That you would even go to a supermarket and treat a woman that is working. You know, how if
she's
dead
over
there, the person's in a locker. She's probably close to retirement age. She's probably trying to make as much as she can make before she's got to retire. Maybe she's got grandkids she wants to take care of or trying to take care of. And
well, who am I speaking with? Who am I speaking with?
You know what? I'm Rhonda.
What is your... All right, Rhonda, let me tell you something.
No, you know what?
9/11, a lot of people died.
On
9/11, a lot of people died. And I'll be a son of a bitch... And I've been to two World's Fairs and one 4th of July picnic, and I've never seen anybody have the audacity to put a meat, to have a hot meat sandwich on a day like that, or whatever you, or put the meat
so,
in. Have you seen how they put meat in a pie?
Maybe President Bush should have just shut down the whole country. We all should have just shut right down and quit working. We should have quit doing everything
I didn't say
that we normally
that, did
do
I?
On a daily basis.
I didn't say that, did
She's
I?
She's working.
I simply
but
said,
it's her job.
Don't.
She gets paid to do that just like I get paid to do my job, just like you got whatever you
yeah,
got
okay.
back in Korean
And
war,
as far as you're concerned,
separate.
Rhonda, I guess as far as you're concerned, we ought to have clowns blowing up balloons on 9/11, huh? Is
well,
that okay
what?
With you?
If
is that okay with you?
My son's birthday was... September 11th.
Is that okay? Is
if my
you'd have...
birthday was September 11th, I would have been blowing up balloons for him because
you know
I don't, the
I
world
would,
doesn't stop. We
and
all
I would
remember
have come over,
it would
well,
hurt every one of us.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would have come over to your house and popped every one of those balloons.
You can't change what has happened. That happened.
And,
you've got to go on.
Well, I'm not
going to
be. I'm not going to hire a stand-up comic to come to my house and hey, happy birthday to Rhonda's Rugrat. What?
Being unrealistic. How many people did that? Maybe people did do that. But if they did, that doesn't mean you go and blow their house down because they kept on going with their life because they don't agree with your opinion. People live in this country. This is how we survive. We work every day. We pay our taxes and we pay our bills. That's what we do.
You know something, Rhonda, you're making a lot of sense, and I know you're a mother who loves her son, but I've got to tell you this, as a grandfather and a father, that if I saw your son with a party hat on, I'd back my grass-trimming trailer right over him.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should just go back over there. Maybe you should go over to freaking Iraq, and maybe we'll get you next time, too. Because you're not thinking any better than the terrorists who knocked down the towers.
You're not thinking any
better than the guys... that destroyed all the lives and the families. You're not thinking any better than them. If you're out there to just destruct the families that are trying to keep going, well, you know what? You should have went a long time ago, buddy, because
all right,
you're not
let me ask you this.
To our country.
Let me ask you this.
You're
not
asset to our country.
Well, if you think it's so, if you think it's wonderful to have these food samples and meat pies on 9/11, what if I said to you, do you want to see my meat pie? I guess you'd like to see that, too, because you see nothing wrong with it.
Now you're being crude and disrespectful and stupid.
Shown around all Korean war, you know what? You're sick.
Yeah, you have shown yourself.
Diseases in your life. You're sick.
How many meat pies have you put into your?
Okay, now I'm fed up with this.
Well, she started it by saying that I.
You're coming on here saying that people shouldn't be giving out meat pies on 9/11. What if they were, let me ask you something, Lloyd. What if they were handing out samples of Smokey Links?
You dirty scut. Hey, Rhonda. Rhonda.
Yes?
I guess you think it's respectful to hand out samples of the Smokey Link, too, huh?
Well, you know what? Of all the days of the year, to have somebody out there giving the country free samples of something, whether it be
Smokey Links,
whether it
exactly.
be cheese doodles, whatever it may be, you know, God bless them. Because it's
I'll
not very
what.
Often that we get something for free in this world. We work
Let me
hard
tell you,
for what we get.
I've listened to you, but you said something there that has PO'd me. You said cheese doodle, and I'll tell you this right now. If I ever, ever see anyone giving out cheese doodles on Memorial Day, I will rip their throat out. And that's a promise.
Oh, well, you know what?
Think it's funny, don't you?
All right, look at guys, this is devolved.
But Oreo cookies would be all right.
All right.
Rhonda, will you let me put some cheese duels on your tater?
Okay, thanks very much, Rhonda, for your call. Okay, Rhonda? Thank you.
Hey, Rhonda, can I put on...
Yeah. Are you there, Lloyd?
Yes!
Hey, Lloyd. Yeah, his phone's cutting out, man. Lloyd, what do you think? Yeah, he's cut out. All right, so Lloyd's out of his mind. Yeah, it's very disrespectful to put meat into a pie on a national holiday. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, it better be good.
I wanted you to come back, and we got one more call.
Well, it better be a good call, because I've been talking to nothing but utter jackasses.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Pat, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Pat.
Well, where did you find this guy? I would like to tell you that my husband was in Korea, and he didn't find it pleasant, but when he was discharged...
What was his name?
His name was Don, and he came home...
I could have known him.
We had several children. Yes, you might have. We had several children. He continued to work. He felt all his life that it was important to be useful.
Where were the kids from?
So this lady who was working... probably felt that even though she was older...
Was he in the Army? No, he was in the Army,
dear.
In the Army, all right. And, yeah. he had several children?
Heavy equipment, yes. When he came home, we had several children, and he continued to work. He never once got into alcohol. Now, I understand that you went into this place to get alcohol. Are you possibly on Medicaid and Medicare, and you think the government should take care of you?
Let me tell you something, Pat. If your husband really was in the service, then he took a couple of tastes in his life too. And all of a sudden, you guys think that I'm committing the equivalent of a child molestation because I want to take a shot of little Crown Royale, which is a very fine Canadian rye whiskey,
My husband never ever thought that a man should hit a woman or.
Here was a woman that was working, probably working when she would rather have been at home. Let's get back to the point. But you weren't working.
You were buying a bottle of whiskey, and what were you celebrating? What in the hell did you find to celebrate on 9/11? What in the hell was possible for you to celebrate on 9/11?
The fact that I knew your husband.
Well, my husband wouldn't have been proud to know you because I guarantee you he didn't have a bottle of whiskey on 9/11.
His comment was, are we ever going to burn? I had run into a geisha house with your husband, Don. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, well, if you... No wonder. I mean, you're just...
Hey, let me tell you, you think it's funny.
Totally different people.
Yeah, he was on penicillin for a year and a half. So if you think that's funny... Yeah.
Nope.
Yep.
Came home nice and healthy, never did go to booze.
Oh, yeah, well, sure.
And he didn't celebrate things with booze. Your husband was always known as a lightweight.
He never could hold a drink.
I remember the night I had to throw him out of a cab because he was just too embarrassing. Wait a minute, you knew this lady's husband?
Yeah, I knew him. He was a real lightweight.
The slightest little disturbance without the kind of booze. And
he was a real lightweight. So
I want the government to support me now. I did
throw him out of the car.
And
I told him, I said, Don, someday you're going to meet a woman that doesn't know how to shut up. And he said, no, I can't stand women that talk. But he could go on.
Don't you wish you could get a hold of me right now? If I had been that little lady in that shop,
I want you to know this. This is a good thing. This is a good thing.
You would remember what Rocky Mountain Oysters
tasted like. Your husband couldn't hold a drink, but he could go all night with four or five geishas. So I got to give him that much.
Oh,
and I would also say,
wait a minute, did you know?
Been his role,
because
whatever he put his mind to, he did.
The problem is he didn't put his mind to those geishas, he put something else to them.
Right.
Who was working by the blouse and
I grabbed her by the because she made me angry and I wanted to put my foot right up her butt.
Because she was
thank
working
you.
And you were drinking by
I
God.
Learned everything I know from your husband.
Right.
And I can tell you that he was Don what's your last name, Floridman?
No, I didn't
know. I know what his name is. Don Snarling. Don Snarling.
You know
what we used to call Don? Oh, Don Kelly, yeah. And you know what? We used to call him Don the Bent Dong because the geishas would come out laughing at him.
All right, are we done?
About what?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Pat, thank God that Don's dead. I mean, not dead. Is he all right?
Oh, yeah, he's sober, too.
You know, we used to call him Two Inch Don, and I can tell you.
Okay, that's
not
fine.
Not him, baby.
I'm sure you've had ability to compare quite a few. Dear.
I wouldn't say that.
Is she gone?
Yes, and you are too. Have we got time for this flashback? I guess not. All right. Pretty sick old people sex. That's what we've gotten to here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking about old people doing it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I can see my good friend David Katz is here. Now, where are we going to dinner tonight, David? Somewhere in the geisha house? Thank you. That's great. So my wife and kids left town today. They got to Kennedy. They flew in. Maria's landed with the children. So we're kind of footloose. But actually, I've got to get back. I've got to get to some of the porn channel. I mean, I got to get some rest. I got to get back there to the hotel where they have unedited porn. I mean, where they have a very nice buffet. And porn. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Remember, in a couple of weeks, we're in Vegas. Join us for the first ever live at the Luxor Las Vegas Phil Henry Show party. The 27th to the 29th. This weekend kicks off on Friday at the Luxor's Amazing Raw Nightclub with the Henry Happy Hour and a live broadcast. You ever seen us do our show? It's, I'm told, very interesting. It's interesting to watch. It's a little tough to do, but it's fun. Then on Saturday night, you'll join me back at the Raw Nightclub for a blues and brews party. We'll hang out. We'll talk. We'll be entertained by a live blues band. You know, just the regular party. All of this for only $348. And there's so much more in this package. Call 1-800-288-1000. Ask about the Phil Henry package. And remember, this is two people for two nights for only $348. The parties and everything else. 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Henry package. 1-800-288-1000. In the meantime, we're here in New York City. We're broadcasting live from Wall Street. Thanks to Jim Cramer and Street.com. We're using Jim's studio tonight. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry in New York.
One 800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
By the way, I keep forgetting, and they keep telling me, tell the people it's you doing the voice of the character. Why? Well, because they take it seriously, but when they know it's you doing the voice, then they realize it's a joke, and they're okay, and they like you. But if you don't tell them, then they're mad, and they think you're scum. That was me doing the voice of Lloyd in the last hour. That was me. I was Lloyd. I did his voice. People called in, thought he was a real guy. Some of you already heard the Margaret Hour. That was me doing the voice of Margaret. Some of you are about to hear the Margaret Hour. And let me tell you that next hour, when you hear Margaret, is me doing her voice. And I tell you that because some of the powers that be will say to me, if you tell the people that they won't hate you, but if you don't tell them they'll hate you, they'll think you're some kind of a weirdo and they'll think you're an ass. Because then we have to take the phone calls. And I heard the man, and he was bad-mouthing 9/11. So basically I'm telling you I do the voices so my bosses don't get phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. And that's okay. That's cool. By the way, I wanted to comment. Maybe this is probably wrong of me, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. David Letterman last night was really brilliant as usual. And he had on Bill Clinton. That wasn't the brilliant part, but he did do kind of a tribute to New York. And it was there was did you see any of that, Craig? There was a aerial shots of New York, and he just sort of paid tribute to the city. And then Jay Leno, you know, is such the antithesis. And there was an old line from a MASH series I saw, a MASH show that I saw once. I'm touched by your insincerity. Jay Leno's a brilliant guy, but he, for the life of him, he can't be whoever he is. He doesn't seem to be able to do that. He sits there, and it's the most uncomfortable thing for him to say, tomorrow night we're going to do a you know, a regular show, and we got to move on. We have to move on. You know, it's 9/11, and... yeah, I know it's bad. It was bad. It's the cue card said it was bad, and so I'm just assuming it was bad. And we'll do a show, and you know, we have to move on because I don't know what I would do without jokes, and because I can't really be real, and you know, let me hold the cue card steady. Oh yeah, I feel bad. And that's really what it was. That's Leno. So last night he's doing some shtick with coupons from a I don't know, some crap. And there's Letterman just like being real. So if I'm showing prejudice, I'm glad, because that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to show prejudice. I think Jay Leno is brilliant. I think he's funny. I think he's tremendous. I think he's like all that stuff. I don't watch his show, but they tell me he is, and I believe them. But Letterman is, for all of his bitterness and his crankiness and his anger, to me is funnier. But for Jay to sit there and you know, it's 9/11, and by the way, I'm from New York, so I know a little bit about it. What happened? Buildings? Oh, yeah, buildings fell down. And what was it? Oh, yeah, planes flew in. You know, that's what he might as well say then. I got a thing here from a magazine. I think it's the New York Magazine, 9/11 by the numbers. And I know you know all the numbers about the number of people who perished, but there's another group of, by the way, that 911, the 911 lottery number, some of you may have heard, the New York lottery has a portion of the New York lottery is called the numbers game. And every day they draw three numbers. And the numbers that were drawn yesterday in the evening and their little ping pong balls that pop up were 9-1-1. How many of you guys think that that's fixed, and how many of you think that that happened for real? How many of you guys think it was for real, and how many of you guys think it was fixed? The numbers that popped up yesterday in the New York Lottery numbers game popped up on ping pong balls, 9-1-1. And the first thing that people said today was, oh, that's got to be, nah, that, well, you know what? There were over 5,000 people that played those numbers. There were over 5,000 people that played 911. Now, do they think that that number is not going to come up, or do they think that that number is going to come up? And the ones that probably don't think it's going to come up, they played 911 anyway. Maybe they're just doing that just to be patriotic. The guys that think it really is going to come up, there's 5,000 of them maybe. And so it's not such an odd occurrence that 911 would come up. Well, I think it's real. I think it was a statement from God. I think it was a miracle. I think the 911 coming up yesterday is a miracle from God. And as a result, I am returning to the Catholic Church. I am going to go back and take my adult education in the Catholic faith. And I will return to take the sacrament of reconciliation and Holy Communion. Because I think God was speaking. By the way, if you saw one of the ping pong balls, the face of the Virgin Mary, for just a moment, was on it. Now, it's got to be, I think it's real. It's got to be real. It's not going to be fixed. You can't fix a lottery. It's against the law to fix a lottery. If you are found fixing a lottery, you can go to prison. You can go to jail for years. The officials involved would go to prison for years. And don't you think that if anybody was going to say the lottery is fixed, 911 coming up on 9/11 is the obvious point where somebody's going to say it's got to be fixed. So you'd have to be some kind of a knucklehead to fix the lottery to make the numbers 911 come up on the day 9/11. Now, maybe you didn't hear about this story, but this is the guy, and I saw the taped replay yesterday of the nine popping up, the one and the one. And they have a girl standing there, right? And, all right, Mary is going to help us with the ping pong balls. Mary, go right ahead. Okay, and she's standing, and she's got kind of that crap-eating grin, and the nine comes up, and the one, and then you could almost see her just kind of, huh? You know, there was a moment where she almost blacked out. You know, that moment of frozen incredulity, just... The guy's like, all right, here are our numbers. 9-1. Oh, God. You know, 1-9-1-1. I think it's a miracle, and I think it is God that sent this miracle. I believe that it is synchronistic. As Jung said, everything, there's synchronicity. You know, what do you want?
You got to be kidding with this religious crap and all of the baloney.
Yeah, you're on next hour. So... Luke, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hey.
How you doing, Luke?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, I think it's a bit too coincidental that for that to
What's
be...
Wrong? Complete, What's wrong? What's wrong with coincidence? What's wrong with...
Nothing's wrong with it, but it's extremely improbable, and especially for something that...
But you did say improbable, you didn't say impossible.
That's true. I have to concede that I don't know everything and all the variables.
Now, do you really believe it? Honestly, tell me the truth. Do you really believe it was fixed?
Yeah.
Now, that knowing that that is a felony, and people could go to prison, and there will most likely be some kind of an investigation, you still believe it was fixed?
I think it's plausible that perhaps the government had a hand in it. I know it's a bit conspiracy theory, but...
The government did it? The government of New York? The government of New York, the state of New York?
Possibly, yeah. I don't know, some sort of morale business.
Do you believe in miracles?
I believe in the extremely improbable occasionally happening.
Then why couldn't this be that moment?
It could, but hence the term.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in your lifetime or my lifetime?
Not usually. I mean, I got to concede that.
Don't you think the government had better things? Don't you think the government had better things to do yesterday than fix the New York State Lottery?
They didn't have better things than giving speeches all day. That's in vain with it.
They were giving speeches in vain?
No. I mean, it's in the same vein.
They were trying to make the country feel better, but to commit a felony, to actually commit a felony, and to fix the New York State Lottery. To do what? I don't know. I mean, somebody's going to go to prison. I guess we can say thanks for boosting our morale. Now you're going to jail. Huh? All right. See you later, man. He doesn't know. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe what he's saying. I think it was a miracle. I think it was some kind of a synchronistic event. But for 911 to come up in the New York State Lottery on 9/11 is some kind of a message from God. And if the cats like Osama bin Laden and the rest of those Islamists think that God is assisting, we ought to look at this 911. One of you guys have those scratch and sniff cards, Bin. That's what you every time you play the New York Lottery over in Afghanistan, you get that scratch and sniff. And why would the government give away money knowing people were going to pick 911? Because there were 5,000-plus people that picked 911. Don't you think people would... I don't know. And it's really not that expensive a game. So it wouldn't cost the government that much money. You know what? He's right. It is fixed. All right. Here is Trevor. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Love the show.
Thanks.
I was just going to say that I don't think it was fixed. Actually, I saw something on the nightly news tonight, and there were some statisticians said how those odds of coming up with 911 are 1 in 1,000.
Yeah, because there's only 3 numbers.
Yes.
1 in 1,000 is really not that bad a set of odds.
And it's not for the lottery.
Well, this is a 3-number number thing, and I think the top payout is $500.
Yeah.
And here it is. The straight play, what they call a straight play, is 1,000 to 1. A payoff on a 50-cent play is 250. The payoff for a $1 play is 500. That's the top payout, $500. There were 5,000 people that had it.
Okay.
911. So I think, you know, okay.
I don't know. Nice.
Oh, I just cut off Trevor. I'm starting to get scared talking about this. I believe that, you know. Yeah, it's freaking me out, man. It's kind of like Craig's whole story yesterday going, and then we went from floor number 11 to floor number 9, and we never passed the 10th floor. I go, Craig, bull crap. I swear to God, man, I swear to God. We went from the 11th floor to the 9th floor. We never passed the 10th floor. Did he tell you this? This happened yesterday on 9/11. And he swears that he was with the media relation lady from the broadcast company that was servicing our broadcast yesterday. They went from 11 to 9, and they never, never touched down on the 10th floor. And I went back there today, and there's a 10th floor, man. I hate, yeah, you know, I've been to the 10th floor there. I stood there and had a cigarette. I just said, yeah, this is the number 10 floor. I think what they did on that day is they just pulled 10 off of all of the doors, so you guys... All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're broadcasting live from New York City. We're just steps away, you know, a few hundred yards actually away from Ground Zero. We're on Wall Street broadcasting from Jim Cramer's studio. Thanks for the use of the studio tonight, Jim. And we've had nothing but a great time. And tonight we're going to, I believe, go over to the China Grill with my good friend Mr. Katz and Mr. Taylor, who has been out all night, every night this week. He thinks this is one big party. He went over to the White Horse Tavern in Greenwich Village last night and tried to do the whole Dylan Thomas thing, drink and then pass out and die on his bed, and it didn't work out for him. All right, Craig, thanks. All right, 1-800-44, thanks for staying alive for him, man. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, broadcasting live from New York City.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, stick around. Jackie Racky, the Iraqi Show, is coming up from KSCD Radio in Baghdad, KSCUD, in just a few minutes. Let's go over here now to Lori. Hi, Lori. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Lori. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. And good night. No, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I just was calling. I was on my way home from a hospital where my brother is laying in the ICU unit, and I was listening to you talking about the coincidence of the lottery number being 911 on yesterday.
Right.
When it was 911. Mm-hmm. And I just, pardon?
Yes,
I just wanted to comment that I really do believe in coincidence like that happening. You can call it a miracle, you can call it a coincidence, you can call it the right alignment of the stars or whatever, but I think if people stop to think that they can find something in their life that they would say would be something that would not be a usual circumstance.
Say that again.
Okay. I'm just saying that you can call it a miracle, you can call
can
it
I ask you a question?
Life.
Can I ask you, Lori, here's the thing. I was trying to connect that with the fact that your brother's in ICU, and I just couldn't
I'm trying to
Did he play 9/11 and he had a heart attack when he saw the number come up?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
I believe in that. I agree with you. I think it happened. I think it's a miracle.
I don't know.
Can I ask you a question, Lori? I have to ask you this at this time. Did you cop any of your brother's painkillers before you,
No, I didn't.
And now, KSCD, Case God, presents Jumpin' Jackie Racky Iraqi.
All right, baby, about 25 minutes after hour. Hey, did you see Bush last night? What a total ass, man. Let me tell you something. Don't put us down. This is Baghdad Radio. All you cats, kittens out there, we've got it going on for you 24 hours a day broadcast. Don't forget, we're giving away that big goat tomorrow over there at Eddie's. Giving away a whole goat. You can light it or eat it. I don't care what you do. It's going to be fantastic. You know something? Iraq's doing just fine without you, Mr. Bush. Thank you. Although we are a little bit behind the times, the most current record we have on our playlist right now is Que Sera Sera. But we're a poor country, United Nations sanctions. I don't even have the records. I have to sing the freaking song, okay? So let's hit our first one on the hit parade today. All the cats and kittens calling in for this one.
KSCD, Baghdad.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what can I be? Should I be? Oh, you know how it goes. There you go. That's Que Sera Sera, sung by Doris Day. Check traffic now. Let's go out there to Bobby. Bobby's out there to traffic out there.
dead now. I see a camera all the time, and the Dutch are hanging out in all the humanity. It's don't come back there right now. It's looking pretty bad. Okay, back to you.
Maybe that's out of sight. Hey, Bush, I have your speech today. It sounded like this. Hold on, I have to get the fart sound. Want to get the fart sound? It's the best. Hey, Bush! Bush! Listen to me. I heard your speech today, and this is what it sounded like. It was something else, baby. It's just, let's go back to traffic. Bush, I have your speech today. It sounds like... Shut up. It sounds like this.
Jesus.
KSCD, golden oldie. It's impossible to help a baby not to cry. Oh, how impossible. It's impossible for the lady. I don't know. Let's take more requests from you. This is Askusna calling us from village south of Baghdad. Askus, how are you doing, baby?
I feel good, Jackie. You're too much. Listen, can you sing in Bill Haley, Rock Around a Clock?
Rock Around the Clock, you slut. You...
I'm sorry, Rock Around the Clock.
All right. KSCD, we're not afraid of America. 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock in Iraq around the clock tonight. Yeah. All right. That's beautiful. Okay, listen. We're having a good time. Even though the UN sanctions, we can't get records. We can't have Matchbox 20. I love them. We can't have Smashing Pumpkins. I love them. We can't have a Alanis Morissette. She's okay. Jewel, we don't play Jewel because first three letters of Jewel's name. Jewel. No, forget it. Not here on KSCD Baghdad. Hey, Paula, I want to marry you. Hey, Paula. You better not be a Jew. I love the things you... Okay, that's it.
You're listening to the Jumpin' Jackie Iraqi Show here on K-Sky.
KSCD News from Baghdad. Good evening, my name is Bobby, and this is the news. President Bush lied. He lied like a dog. He lied like a filthy dog. He lied like one of his Jewish puppets today in front of United Nations. That's all the filthy news that you need to know. KSCD, hitbound. Here's what a big one, baby. This baby is a hitbound. I know you're going to love it. I just got to find the joke sheet. But here we go. You're going to love this song. It's Tony Bennett. The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I left my heart in San Francisco, but I got my ball shot off in Kuwait. All right! Well, thanks a lot, kids. See you back here. Phil Hendry Show, broadcast New York!
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't know if anybody remembers this. It's a long time ago when I was a kid. Maybe nobody knows. However, I will say that David Byrne of the Talking Heads used this woman's sermons and speeches in as lyrical snippets for his songs. This is how really intergalactic this woman was. And she had a show on television like once a week. She had wild red hair. She was about early 50s to early 60s, something like that. And her name was Catherine Kuhlman. And she started every show with, "I'm Catherine Kuhlman, and I believe in miracles." And she had these eyes that were wild. And I'd watch her. I don't remember anything that she would say, because it was all surreal drivel to me, you know. But a lot of those guys are just fascinating. And Catherine Kuhlman would talk, "I believe in miracles." So I've always remembered that, and that's why I believe that the 911 wasn't fixed, Catherine Kuhlman. But, yeah, she had like Karen Black eyes, just those big, and she, but anyway, David Byrne would use snippets from, you know that, you know the song, Letting the Days Go By, you know that song? Look, I'm talking to Craig Taylor, my 26-year-old, you don't know, let the, by water rolling. Well, there's a line in there, there is water at the bottom of the ocean. That's from a Catherine Coleman sermon. Once in a Lifetime's a song, yeah. Once in a Lifetime. That's from a Catherine Coleman sermon where she says, and there is water at the bottom of the ocean. Really, that's, that, yeah, you know what? I'm converted, I'm a Christian. There's water at the bottom of the ocean, so I'm ready to go with that. All right, I want to talk about Bush's speech today, too. Here's Barbara on the Phil Hendry Show. Barbara?
Yes,
Barbara.
Hello, Phil.
How you doing?
Phil, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, dear.
Okay, yes, I was calling regarding the comment that I don't understand why people have such a hard time believing that this was not a coincidence, that this is a message from God. Clearly, after everything that has happened, you know, lately in our country, where they want to remove the name of God from our Pledge of Allegiance, it just feels like if the reasons under which this country was founded are trying to be wiped out and people don't want to believe.
So God sent the 911 lottery balls to pop up to say what?
I think it was to say exactly that he will always look after us. And he will always be protecting us. And even to look a little bit beyond that, I don't know if this happens to you or it happens to other people. It happens to me. Sometimes terrible things happen, and I wonder, and I ask God, why? And now, you know, I'm 46 years old, and I wait, and I realize after a while why certain bad things happen. And most of the time, if not all of the time,
it's your
fault. It's to protect me from something. No, it's not my fault, but normally when these terrible things happen to our country and in our lives, you know, as time goes
do you,
on...
Do you suppose, Barbara, do you suppose the message from God was, I play lotto?
No, I think the message from God, I think the coincidence that this... I absolutely cannot imagine it being fixed, first of all, like people are saying.
Lord thy God, and I play lotto.
Yeah. And I believe... from my heart, and I'm very faithful, and I'm a Christian, and I'm Catholic, that this is a message from God to all of us.
See, that
like
Catholics,
many other things may have been.
You know, Barbara, I was raised Catholic, too, so we've got a genetic tendency to believe in miracles. You know, Lourdes and Guadalupe and trying to think of the other, Fatima.
I know we do.
And, yeah,
but
you know, we're always into that.
I think,
the stigmata.
Although the chances, you know, may, you know, 1 in 1,000 possibly, but
we also and the but happening. The other problem, the flip side of that, honey, is that as Catholics, we also have that organic tendency to drink. You know,
well,
and so
I don't drink, Phil.
All right,
this
is why we believe
drink.
In miracles.
Sometimes I feel like if I'm a weirdo in this world because I just simply do not understand. Every day
we're
I get
all
in
weirdos.
My fax machines. You know, please vote no to removing the name God from our Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, you send that out on your you send that out on your fax machine?
I respond no, I don't want it removed as much as as long as I can get through. But the thing is, and on the internet,
do you own a
I'm
fax machine?
Getting
You're getting faxes, but do you own a fax machine?
Yes, I do.
All right, hon. All right, listen, I got to move on. I hear
you.
Remember Catherine Coleman? She believes in miracles.
Phil, I just don't understand why people that enjoy what we enjoy in our country and all the freedoms and the fact that this
don't
country
play lotto.
Was founded, and
right.
the Pledge of Allegiance is, you know, under God, why so many people that enjoy all of everything we enjoy want to simply, you know, overlook
I
it.
Don't know.
You know, this is what was, this
well,
is the basis
scum.
Of what founded our country.
All
whether
right.
they like it or not.
I got to get going, Barbara. Thank you for your call. And you're right. It was the basis of what founded this country, lotto. All right. Oh, you know what I wanted you to say? This is Rosanna Dana speaking. Okay, just kidding, kid. 1-800-449-8686. Anybody see Bush's speech today? It was fantastic. It was fantastic. He basically said the following thing. And it was one of those master strokes that comes from a masterful politician and a guy who also understands diplomatic speak. And it was great. And if you don't believe me, you got to listen to the Democrats and Republicans, both who said the guy really hit a home run with his speech. Essentially, he did this. And I was worried, like a lot of people might have been worried, that he was going to sit there in front of the assembly and say, we Americans want this, and the American, and as Americans, you better do what we want it. He didn't do that. What he did was beautiful. He said, the guy is taking a huge dump on you, the United Nations. You had this resolution. He said no. He said he'd do it, and he backtracked. We had this resolution. He said he would do it, and he went back on his word. He is taking a huge crap on you, the assembled members of the United Nations. He is spitting in your face. And Bush said, now I'm just the representative of my country, and here's what we think in my country, which is this. Get those inspectors back in there, and I mean within weeks, get them back in there, and find out what the guy's got and make him destroy those things. Because as long as he doesn't do what the United Nations has asked him to do time again, time and again, and time and again, he is spitting right in your faces. And it was completely unexpected by me. He said, this charter, the United Nations charter was formed because madmen had gotten out of control in the 40s. Hitler, Tojo, all those guys. We decided to put together an organization, unlike the League of Nations, which had some teeth in it, called the United Nations. And we were formed so that a madman could no longer hold the world hostage. And that's what we've been doing for the last 50 plus years. And this guy is making you look stupid. Now, either we're here to get a job done, as you have asked the job to be done, you have made the resolutions, you have imposed the sanctions, you have told him to do these things. Now, either we've got an organization here that has teeth, or we simply are putting together a wish list that's never going to get done. And it was fantastic. And he said, now, speaking just for my country, we believe this guy is a danger. We believe this guy is a funder of terrorists, and we want desperately to be a part of the United Nations effort to get rid of this man's ability to manufacture weapons of mass destruction. We will work with the United Nations. We're a member state of the United Nations. But then he said, the little caveat, which I'm glad he said, but I got to tell you, and of course I'm paraphrasing, Bush wasn't talking like this. I mean, the guy was putting in a beautiful, he was going, so, so you know what I'm saying? He was not talking like an idiot like me, but he said, but it is our heritage and it is our mission as our country, the United States, to deal with this one way or another. Basically saying, we really want to work with you guys. We really want to go with the United Nations. We want to see the resolutions implemented that Saddam Hussein signed off on at the armistice in the Gulf War back in 91. But if this organization can't do the job, then we are prepared, because it is our heritage, and he used that word, it is our heritage, to go ahead and do what we got to do. It was brilliant. There wasn't anybody who could find any serious fault with it, except for, of course, predictably and naturally, the Iraqi ambassador, who they kept cutting to throughout the speech. And he sat there with this sort of stupid look on his face while some clown was chewing gum with a mustache. And that's fine. I would expect him to do that. Then later on, the Iraqi ambassador was interviewed, and he said, you know what? This is a load of crap. As he was saying all of this, he had this comb over. I couldn't take my eyes off the top of his head. He's talking about all this stuff, and all I could look at was this magnificent space-age comb over the guy had. Because of UN sanctions, as you know, Rogaine doesn't get into Iraq anymore. And so the UN sanctions, you know, has completely shut down the Rogaine, and that's the big problem they're having. And it's just all that baldness and the mustaches. And this guy didn't have a mustache, by the way. But it was wonderful. And like I said, they could say nothing about it. So, I don't know. Went a long way toward doing a lot of things. And I told you guys this yesterday. I said, okay, the speeches, all of this stuff. Yes, you know, beautiful day yesterday. Beautiful day in terms of how we put, you know, to rest in peace, as the saying goes, those people who were murdered on 9/11. But today was the day that he came out and he kicked some ass. And I think if you saw it, you would have been very proud of it. I thought it was great. Craig, did you see it? Were you still running around Greenwich Village this morning? Yeah. Craig didn't get to bed till 11, but
I would have, but
he was still, you know, taking the tops off of parking meters. He had that big wrench. And at one point last night, they opened up a fire hydrant, and they did that. All right, 1-800, which, by the way, speaking of yesterday, I'd like to make this point. The president took all that time yesterday. at ground zero because he wanted to meet every one of those people. He wanted to shake every one of those hands. He wanted to sign every autograph. He didn't want to let that moment pass without making personal contact with every single one of those guys. And, you know, one of the problems last night when we were at the over at the Embassy Suites doing the show, I heard some guys saying, well, when's he going to get over to Ellis Island and get this speech? Because that's the way the media works. You know, well, he's off schedule. I said, the guy is meeting people. Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, why do you get out of there? What do you want him to do, man? You want to land on the chopper? Yeah, hi. Can you imagine Bush landing yesterday with the dust of the chopper kicking up over those poor people? He walks down the steps. He says, yo, first of all, I want to thank all of you for being here. It's great. Thanks a lot. You know, it's kind of bad what happened, right? Okay, I'll see you. Got to get going to Ellis Island, back in the chopper, and off he goes. Would have been, he would have been on schedule, though. He comes down the steps. Yeah, listen, nice seeing you. Waves. Does the wave. Okay, I'm going to, I don't know, what do you want me to say, Laura, anything?
Just tell him.
Yeah, you know, it was bad. I got to split, though, and thank you. It's nice flowers. Okay, bye. Oh, it ain't going to happen.
You are a real ass. You know that, George?
Well, God, you know, I'm trying to, yeah,
no, really. Go out and say something nice to the people, all right?
Laura wants me to say something nice. I don't know. I'll forget it. Get in here.
Did you turn black, man?
Yeah, Laura Bush Black. I don't know why. I just... Well, she's Texas, you know.
You know, George, you are always trying to mess everybody up.
Well, I'm just trying to do the right thing, honey.
Well, the hell with you. Get out there and talk to the people.
Laura, you know I love you, but man... You leave that Nivea laying around the bathroom one more time.
Oh, you racist.
All right. 1-800-4... Jesus. And what is it with you, Apollo, at the, you know, the showtime at the Apollo? Will you turn it off already? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're live in New York City, and we're here tonight and tomorrow night, and we're happy to be here. We can't thank enough everybody that's made the journey to New York possible and pleasurable. Who are they? It was basically us that did it. I mean, we bought our plane tickets, and we came here, and, you know, huh? I don't think anybody really helped us at all. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Here are some 9/11 by the numbers statistics. You know how many people perished. You know the number of firefighters and the number of police officers and the Port Authority officers. Other numbers include, for instance, and this is gruesome, but I think it's amazing, actually. They actually found 289 bodies intact from the World Trade Center disaster. How that was possible, I don't know, but there were actually 289 people who they were able to identify, I suppose, with a relative number of ease. There were 1,717 families who simply got no remains at all. 36,000 units of blood were donated to the New York Blood Center. The total units of donated blood used, 258. And I heard a guy today on TV, he was working for a New Jersey rescue operation, and they set up their facility, they set up their triage, if you will, across the Hudson River, and they sat and they waited for the casualties to come in, and there were none. There just simply were none. Whatever injury was sustained was handled in Manhattan, but they simply had none. I mean, that was how devastating this event was. There were 1,609 people who lost a spouse or a partner. There were interesting statistic, 20% of Americans knew somebody hurt or killed in the attack. Of all Americans, 20%. That's a huge number. Now, after 9/11, the percentage increase in CIA applications from the year 2001 to the year 2002, 160%. 160% increase in people wanting to get into the CIA. The percentage increase... This is interesting. The percentage of increase in Peace Corps applications from 2001 to 2002, 75%. kids rediscovering the Peace Corps. I had a friend, by the way, who was in the Peace Corps in Morocco, and he spent a good part, I think about 2 years of the Peace Corps teaching English to French-speaking students because he spoke French, and he was down there. I said, how'd you like it? He said, you know, it's very interesting. He met his wife there, and, you know, they got to know each other while they were in the Peace Corps. And I said, well, what else? He said, the only part about living in Morocco was the fact that anytime I wanted to do a bunch of Americans living in a compound there in the Peace Corps. Anytime we wanted to have a barbecue, it would take days, literally days, to find charcoal. I said, they didn't have Kingsford? He goes, no, they didn't have freaking Kingsford, man. Well, I don't know. You know, he said he would have to, if they wanted to have a barbecue on Saturday night, they would start planning it on Monday. All right, who's getting the charcoal? Okay, you, and they would have to travel like 50 miles to find charcoal. Then somebody else's job would be to get whatever they were going to barbecue, steaks or lamb or goat or whatever, and that would be like a four-day operation, you know? Then who's getting the vegetables? Well, that was another six-day operation. And then, of course, finding a place, you know, to keep it relatively cool. They had a refrigerator, but wasn't much. And then, of course, the big one was, how are we going to get some kind of beer or spirits? And that was, it was available, but that was another 6 to 5 days. And it involved, you know, you want a six-pack of beer? Yeah, you do. Uh-huh. Okay. Get your pants off. All right. So, you know, yeah, you really had to. But, you know, what a man wants to have a beer, a man wants to have a beer, okay? He'll do just about anything, won't you, Craig? All right. 1-800-449-8686. We're off to go have some dinner. We're going up into Manhattan. If anybody wants to join us, we'll be at the China Grill. All right? Okay, bye. We're live in New York. It's a great town.